From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message dealing with the work of the Spirit in the ministry of Christ. We've seen that the Holy Spirit was deeply involved in the Incarnation. Furthermore, the Bible makes it clear that Christ was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Then it was at Christ's baptism that he began his earthly ministry. Here again, the Holy Spirit was present and active, both to demonstrate Christ's purity and to prove the validity of his messiahship. Today we come to the activity of the Holy Spirit in the temptation of Christ. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, "What is the unpardonable sin?" This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The Lord Jesus in Matthew 12 speaks of a sin that is unpardonable. It's amazing to me, you know, that when people read that passage, they always focus on that one little thing. It's one sin that's unpardonable. I have very rarely ever seen people emphasize the context, and yet the context is glorious. I remember years ago speaking to a brilliant young woman who had made a mess of her life in many ways. A lovely girl, as I say, a brilliant girl. She had got into drug abuse, and she'd even become a high priestess in witchcraft. And the Satanists were pursuing her, trying to keep her within the ranks, as it were. And she was greatly distraught to wonder, could there be any salvation for her? And I remember opening the Bible with her, Matthew chapter 12. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Now it goes on to say, you sin against the Father and the Son will be forgiven, but the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven. But I always remember what happened when we read that passage. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. And God seemed to just take that word. She asked, is that in the Bible? I showed her it in the Bible. The tears began to flow, and that girl came to Christ and has gone on with Christ in a beautiful way ever since. Why do we not emphasize the magnificence of God's mercy and focus on this one thing? Well, it's because, I suppose, of so many false theories that people, especially preachers, tell others that it looks like they have committed the unpardonable sin. Actually, the Lord Jesus was very careful in defining this sin. In the context, he was referring it to the Pharisees and the sin that they had committed. These particular Pharisees, they knew, according to Nicodemus, they knew that God was with Christ. Nicodemus said, we know that thou art come from God, a teacher. We know that. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know that. And yet the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12 deliberately attributed what they knew to be the work of the Holy Spirit. They attributed it to the devil. And they did it for their own rotten prejudice and their own particular, we'd have to say, their political or sectarian advantage. Now that's a terrible thing. They knew this to be the work of the Holy Spirit, and they attributed it to the devil. And Jesus said, you do that, that's blasphemy that will never be forgiven in this life or the next. Now when you stop to think of it, if what the Holy Ghost does is relegate it to being the work of the devil, what is there for you? The only word that can bring light to you is the word of the Holy Ghost. The only work that can ever benefit you is the work of the Holy Ghost. If you've already handed that all over to the devil, there's nothing left. Jesus said, that's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Some people have gone so far as to say, and they may well be right in this, that that was a sin that could be committed only with regard to the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because these men had seen the Son of God, through whom the Spirit of God moved with such power. They had seen that. Nobody else nowadays, for example, could see that. So some people would actually limit that blasphemy, that particular sin, to the days of Christ on earth. Be they right or wrong in that, certainly it is defined as the deliberate attribution to the devil of what they knew to be the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Of the Holy Ghost living in a carnal, worldly, self-filled fashion. Only when one is full and controlled by the Spirit of God can one then be led by the Spirit of God. It's a tragedy that there are so many Christians and they want the leading of the Spirit, the discernment of the Spirit, the blessings that come from these things while all the time walking in an unspiritual fashion. It cannot be. He was full of the Holy Ghost and he was led by the Spirit. And notice where he was led. Into the wilderness. If I were to believe the nonsense of the modern charismatics, at least the popular TV brand of them, I would have to say that that was a mistake, because surely if you're full of the Holy Ghost and if you're led of the Holy Ghost, you'll always be in the mountaintop. You'll always be smiling. You'll always be singing. You'll always be rich. You'll always be making millions of dollars. You'll always be this, that, and the other thing. But the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, led by the Spirit into his temptation. Now listen. Jesus Christ is God and man, and that fact made it impossible for him ever to contract personal guilt. He couldn't sin. God could not become personally involved in the guilt of sin. But yet it's a strange thing that I note here, that it wasn't by the mere exercise of his eternal deity that Christ defeated the devil. No.
Rather, he depended on the indwelling Spirit. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And he depended on that indwelling and infilling Spirit. And you'll notice he used the sword of the Spirit. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And that's how he conquered. What a lesson for you and me. Let me just say this to you.
I don't really want to take time to pursue this because I'd have to preach a week at every point if I were going to digress on every one of them, follow them through.
But if Jesus Christ, the God-man, did not use the mere fact of who he was to defeat the devil, but rather depended on the infilling of the Spirit and used the sword of the Spirit, how absolutely foolish is it for Christians to think that by the strength of their personality, by the might of their willpower, by screwing up their determination, they are going to defeat the devil. I want to tell you, my friend, victory for you and for me is given us here in this clear example. How do you get victory?
Paul put it in a nutshell. I remember as a young Christian struggling, the devil defeating me again and again, bringing me down to the edge of despair where I wondered, would God ever give me the light of assurance, of faith, and the light of victory in Jesus Christ and the joy of my salvation, to such a place that I thought perhaps there would never be anything but just tragedy and frustration enough to break the mind entirely. And I remember as a young Christian with all that burden of defeat and frustration upon me, falling on my face before God. And the first time, I'd read it again and again and again. But the first time, the fifth chapter of Galatians really opened up to me. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a plain statement. Could I put it this way? If you walk in bathing trunks at the North Pole, you're not really going to get sunburned. Now, you might get weather beaten, but you're not going to die of tropical heat, are you? On the other hand, if you walk at the equator in summertime, you're not going to drown in snow. Simple cause and effect. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When the lusts of the flesh are evident in the believer's life, when the words of the flesh come tumbling from his lips, when the bitterness of the flesh and all the wickedness of the flesh is evident in himself, in his home, in his relationships with other Christians, etc., etc., you have an absolutely clear indication that he is not walking in the Spirit. Now, God gives us the example. The Son of God depended entirely upon his indwelling Spirit. So can we. Bless God, he will never let us down. The fifth area where the Holy Spirit worked in the ministry of Christ was in his works of power. Stay in Luke chapter 4, look at verse 14. Jesus returned. This is after the temptation. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 gives us the words of Peter concerning Christ in the household of Cornelius. And this is what he says: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, when you see the ministry of the Lord Jesus, see all that he did, see the miracles, casting out devils, etc., what are you seeing? You're seeing the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Matthew 12 and 28 says, in the words of Christ, I cast out devils by the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. And when the Pharisees, he said, no, you do it by Beelzebub. Jesus said, you are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Why? Because all the mighty works of Christ's power. Oh yes, we could say, abstractly I suppose, we could say, because he was God, he could do anything. But the fact is, though that may be true, the Lord Jesus never did anything in this earth simply by virtue of the fact that he was God manifested in the flesh. He did all that he did because of the measureless fullness of the Holy Ghost that he had. He depended on the Spirit of God, the fullness of power. Now, I'm not going to apply that to you and me at this point in time. We've come to the power of the Spirit in due course in our studies. But I say this to you, there is power. Now, you and I have a limitation as to our capacity. The Lord Jesus alone could receive the infinite Spirit in all his measureless fullness. But you know, whether you take a pint jug or the great Atlantic Ocean, any receptacle can only receive according to its capacity, and the little pint jug is just as much full as the vastest receptacle in the world. It may not have as much, but it's still full. You know, whoever you are, whatever you are in Jesus Christ, there is the fullness of the Spirit of God, and there is power to do his work and his will. Now, we have seen this. In the words of Christ, he executed his prophetic office, and the Holy Spirit filled him for that. Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. That's the prophetic office. In the works of Christ, he executed at least to some degree his kingly office, subduing his and our enemies. And in this, the Holy Spirit filled him as well. I cast out devils by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12:28. Therefore, we're not surprised that the Holy Spirit also filled him for his priestly work. That leads me to the sixth thing, the Holy Spirit working in the death of Christ. Hebrews 9:14. He, through the eternal Spirit. Now, some commentators think that's his divine nature. I believe not. It certainly would be a unique way of describing it. The eternal Spirit surely is the Holy Spirit, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now, I'm going to tread very, very briefly and very, very carefully here, for we're within the veil. And I want to tell you, when I come here, I will use few words because I dare not transgress. But I say this to you. Every part of the sufferings of Christ all tie into his atoning work. But nonetheless, the atonement did not merely consist in the external sufferings of Jesus Christ. Rather, the atonement derived its power from what we could term Christ's intention. That inward voluntariness. Now, by the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot.
What does that tell me? It tells me that even in the depths of the most awful darkness and agony of Calvary, when men tormented his body, and when all hell was let loose against his mind, even in the darkness of Calvary, the will of Jesus Christ was filled and fixed by the Holy Spirit of God, so that never for a moment did he ever lose that total willing zeal to offer himself a spotless substitute to God for the salvation of our souls. Yes, the Holy Spirit is active at the cross.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.